You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
In the squadron, they called him Bullets, but we call him Greg Kelly. Greg Kelly is on the air on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Oh, man, I'm a little bit exhausted. Sorry, because I was up all night investigating and solving the murder of Nicole Brown and Ron Goldman. And I don't think OJ did it. Well, there's just a lot of other stuff out there. A lot. There's this guy named William Deere, former police officer, private investigator. He has done exhaustive research. Now, I got to be careful around this issue because I think he's been sued. He may have been sued. But let's just say there's another individual very close to OJ Simpson who apparently had motive, who apparently had capacity, who was in the neighborhood that night, who had been slighted by Nicole Brown, Nicole Simpson, whatever, had his feelings hurt. I just want to figure out the legality of all this stuff. I don't want to get my ass sued. Excuse me. How crude? Why am I so crude? That happens sometimes when I pull all-nighters. I think that, you know, one thing about OJ, if you look at what he was acting like that night, now he went to the recital. They tried to say he was angry and he was moody and that they weren't being nice to him. That's not true. I saw the footage. He's hugging people. He's lifting up children. He's having a great time. And then he goes to McDonald's with Kato Kaelin. It's just not the kind of thing you do just before committing a double homicide for the first time in your life. The other thing that's really, really key, and I've noticed this for years, why the hell wasn't there more blood in the Bronco? There are little tiny droplets of blood in the Bronco. It's almost microscopic. If he had just butchered two people and there's blood all over the place, all the detectives, you can find the pictures online. And if all the detectives said that, they had never seen this much blood, she was nearly decapitated. Ron Goldman had all kinds of defensive wounds. Wounds on his hands, and he was punching, and he probably punched the guy they thought in the teeth. Now, OJ, other than that little cut on his hand, had basically no wounds at all. You look at that little cut, and then you look at the battle that happened. I don't think that is nearly, sufficient. I don't think it adds up. Look, hey, a jury did find him not guilty. Now, I know. People who watched the trial, we saw a lot of evidence that the jury never saw. And a lot of things were said in court that the jury never heard. Although then again, we have that lady running around saying that this was payback for Rodney King. I don't know. Now, was O.J. Simpson always that crazy? I don't think you could conceal that if you were that crazy. Now, there is this person who's pretty close to OJ, who's pretty moody, and he was in the courtroom when OJ was found not guilty. And this is somebody who probably loves OJ Simpson. And everybody in OJ's entourage is celebrating and happy, except this one guy. He's very dour and he's sad. And OJ himself was a little bit dour and sad. Can I hear that moment, please? Cut two.
All right, Mr. Simpson, would you please stand and face the jury? Mrs. Robertson.
Superior Court of California, County of Los Angeles, in the matter of the people of the state of California versus Orenthal James Simpson, case number BA097211, we, the jury, in the above entitled action, find the defendant, Orenthal Orenthal James Simpson not guilty of the crime of murder in violation of Penal Code Section 187A, a felony upon Nicole Brown Simpson.
Now, two things there in OJ's reaction. He's both relieved and kind of sad at the same time. I believe maybe he knows that the person that he loves will now become a suspect, although that never really happened. We're trying to get William Deere. He wrote the book. He's going to be here at 1:30. All right. He'll be naming names. Damn. This man, I just looked at his documentary. I just looked at his, actually, I think I have a scene from the documentary. Did you guys get that yet? Did you get the documentary scene? Well, let's start with the local report. This is William Deere. I might as well just tell you guys. And look, I have to say, I have all of this information from Mr. Deere, who is, you can buy the book on Amazon. He says that Jason Simpson, the son, did it. Now, this is just a theory, and may never be tested. Now, I will say, I did hear a podcast with Jason Simpson, and the moment I heard the podcast, I thought, there's no way, this is the nicest guy in the world. But it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. Can I hear? Cut 14, please. Cut 14.
O.J. Simpson is on parole tonight after walking out of a Nevada prison over the weekend. He served 9 years for a kidnapping in Las Vegas and an armed robbery conviction. O.J.'s release is creating a new buzz and interest in the murders of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ronald Goldman. But one private investigator in Texas says O.J. is innocent and the LAPD focused on the wrong person, and he can prove it. He spent the last 23 years collecting evidence on what he calls the number one overlooked suspect. In the tiny Texas town of Mount Calm, private investigator William Deere is stirring up a storm of evidence in one of America's most high-profile crimes.
My quest now, and has always been in this case, is to seek justice.
That quest came to life 1,500 miles from the L.A. crime scene at the end of this dusty country road. On an eccentric ranch in this giant warehouse.
This is what we accumulated in the O.J. Simpson investigation.
Almost every inch of this warehouse contains evidence pointing to what Deere calls the one overlooked suspect in the deaths of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ronald Goldman.
Which happened to be O.J. Simpson's son, Jason Lamar Simpson.
How did you get Jason Simpson's Jeep?
We watched it for a period of time after the murders when he put it into storage, hiding it. And then he sold it to a friend, and we had a friend of ours buy it.
And he's been begging the Los Angeles Police Department to collect DNA samples from it and investigate it ever since.
So you have the Jeep.
Yes.
But what's in this box?
What's in this box contains the most crucial piece of evidence that we needed in this investigation, and that's to us. The murder weapon.
Deere says he obtained a box in Jason Simpson's storage unit in L.A. when it went up for auction because of lack of payment.
And in that box, at the bottom of it, was this knife, a replica of a Gerber Mark V designed for one purpose and one purpose only, and that's to cut and to kill. You can see the top of the survival knife has been removed. It matches the lacerations on the top of Nicole Simpson's skull.
He says Jason Simpson was enraged the night of the murders, because Nicole Brown Simpson canceled dinner reservations at the last minute at the restaurant where Jason, a chef, was going to prepare a meal for the family.
If you have a son who's 24, 5'11", 235, and on probation for assaulting his previous employer with a knife, who's been in a psychiatric unit, who was taking Depakote to control his rage disorder, who had attacked two women, and you don't interview him, that's a sad miscarriage of justice.
And this knit cap.
And then there's the black knit cap.
This kind of a cap was found at the crime scene. In it contained hair from an animal and hair that was not O.J. Simpson's. But when you look at this picture up there, there's Jason Lamar Simpson in bed wrestling with his dog. Similar cap, if not the exact same cap, found at the crime scene.
Deere says the LAPD won't test the hair follicles in the cap and compare them to Jason Simpson's DNA.
These are all part of the O.J. Simpson investigation.
From boxes and boxes of evidence to Jason Simpson's diaries, Deere is pleading with detectives just to take another look.
What do you say to the people that are watching this, who watched the trial of the century? They're going to say, this guy's just crazy. Can we believe him?
I've been inducted into the Police Officers Hall of Fame as a private investigator. One of the only ones that's been inducted. I'm pro-policeman. This is my nickel. I spent the money. Nobody's paid me. Nobody's coerced me in any way whatsoever. I have nothing to gain other than the fact that I'm trying to bring truth, which nobody got a chance to see during the trial.
Deer says he'll continue to go down this road, collecting evidence and prodding the LAPD to look at OJ's son.
They want me to go away. I'm not going away. Well, I've been here for 23 years, and I'm going to go until the day I die.
And he wants to send a message to Jason Simpson.
I'd like to sit down with him, look him square in the eye, and tell him, you ruined your dad's life. You've ruined yours. Finally man up to what you've done so that you can live with yourself.
That shot right there, Detective Deer says, it continues to bother him. And this one right here, this was right after the verdict was read, when OJ's not guilty verdict was read. He said, while everyone was celebrating, yeah, Jason was stoic. I reached out to LAPD for comment on this story. The Robbery and Violent Crimes Division said it will get back to me.
Wow. There's a lot here. There is a lot here. Again, interesting. Not accusing anybody of anything. We're raising questions. It does seem, again, the blood, no blood in that Bronco. Microscopic blood in that Bronco. And there were problems with that sock, as Professor Dershowitz told us yesterday. And chemicals, foreign chemicals that are not in the human body in that sock. Very strange. Now, here's a clip from Mr. Deer, William Deer's documentary. You just heard him in that piece. He's got an hour and a half documentary in addition to the book. Go ahead, please.
Because this is a very bloody scene. There were multiple stab wounds. You're talking about wounds that are arterial in nature, and there would be spurting of blood. You can see it is. The person would be almost dripping blood.
If that's the case, when O.J. ran for his Bronco and opened the door and jumped in, the bottom of his shoes would have had blood all over him, his clothes would have had blood all over him, and there would have been blood all over the Bronco, but there wasn't.
They found some blood, but in my opinion, it's not enough blood. Inconsistent with somebody just killed two people, so bloody sitting in a vehicle.
The amount of blood that was found in that Bronco and the few spots that were found could fit on my thumbnail.
If you're struggling with an individual and blood is dripping to the ground, you would expect the soles of the shoes to be almost blood-soaked.
I have documentation of the scene. In fact, I have two.
All right, stop. It's very hard to understand Henry, Dr. Henry Lee. Remember that guy? He's one of the premier forensic experts in the world, and very hard to understand him. But the next guy actually says the same thing. Keep going.
Bloody print. Not only two set of print, bloody print.
There was no blood on the brake and no blood on the accelerator. How in the world could O.J. Simpson have fought with Ron Goldman and moved his feet around in the blood and not transfer it to the brake or to the accelerator?
Either he did not drive the Bronco, but prosecution have a theory he wore a sweatsuit, and so he have to change and at the scene and get rid of the bloody clothing, then drive the Bronco. Of course, you have a very short timeline. You really don't have time to spend more time to change.
When Marsha Clark made that statement that the Bronco was full of blood, that was an untruth by Marsha Clark.
Marsha Clark, who wrote a book and flirted and probably had an affair with Chris Darden, her co-counsel, they should have been focusing on the case. Instead, she was actually going to parties during the trial and before the trial. She was like a star on television, you know, all day long. It basically 8 hours a day. And it all went to her head, and she took her eye off the ball, forgot the basics. But there's just not enough blood. Now, this guy, William Deer, who we're going to talk to in a little bit, he does believe that O.J. Simpson went to the crime scene, visited the crime scene after Jason did the deed. And it's fascinating, and I don't think you can just dismiss this. This man who we're about to talk, he's not a kook. He's got credentials. And I think he's got a lot of money, by the way, because he has spared no expense in his investigation. I'll be right back.
Greg Kelly, Greg Kelly on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Stop. ED is no laughing matter. This could be caused from low T, high blood pressure, or diabetes. Elevate Wellness can help. 40% of men over 40 have experienced this. Make the call to Elevate Wellness now. 973-354-2276. 973-354-2276. The office visit is only $99 and includes exam, blood work, test dose, and consultation. Call Elevate Wellness. 973-354-2276 or ElevateWellnessGroup.com. Your health is important. Your sexual health is very important. And like everything else, it has challenges. As many as 50% of men over 50 have sexual-related difficulties, like ED, low testosterone, and low energy. That's where they come in. Elevate Wellness has real professional and in-person solutions. Call 973-354-2276, 973-354-2276, or visit ElevateWellnessGroup.com and get back to where it started. Office visits only $99 this month.
If you're suffering from ED, you're not alone. 60% of men over 60 have this problem. Help is out there. The professionals at Elevate Wellness can help you be the man you used to be. They've helped thousands of patients and have a 96% success rate. What are you waiting for? Call 973-354-2276. 973-354-2276. Your first visit is only $99. ElevateWellnessGroup.com. Help is out there. ElevateWellnessGroup.com.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Greg Kelly, entertaining and informative on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
You know what? I like and admire Marjorie Taylor Greene. I hope she knows what she's doing. People are getting very nervous here all right, she really wants Speaker Johnson out of that job. Look, I don't trust the FBI. This FISA thing has just been renewed, right? Marjorie Taylor Greene. Listen to this. Go ahead. Please.
Home is, do you trust the government? Do you actually trust the Department of Justice to police itself? Do you actually trust Biden's DOJ to hold Biden's FBI accountable? No, we don't trust any of it. And I'm really sick and tired of Republicans here in the House kicking the can down the road and saying, oh, well, when Trump comes back, Trump will fix it. Why don't Republicans fix it right now? That's what I want to see. I want to see a fight to actually do what we say we're going to do and stand up for the American people. I voted yes on the rule. I'm voting yes on the warrant requirement. And then I am voting a big fat no on the FISA bill altogether. And that's exactly what we should be doing.
I love her, and I don't trust the FBI anymore. And this is the same organization. I mean, they meddled in two elections, and there's been no accountability. Zero. 2016, 2020, what's to stop them from doing it? Hey, Carrie, what is it? What do you want? We had a talk last time. What is it now?
I just want to say the truth is that you're violating Jesus and the Constitution.
You know what? Carrie, I told you. You call up here, you badmouth my friends like Cardinal Dolan, you badmouth Joel Osteen. I mean, there's other places for you to go. But I am curious, how am I violating the Constitution? And Jesus, by the way, you said. How is that?
Yes, because the Bible really is true. Every word of it is true.
Yeah, and some of it is allegorical, you know. And some of it is in parables, of course, right? Jesus spoke in parables, as you know. All right, so what the hell is it, Carrie?
The Bible says intentional
ignorance. Hey, Gary, do me a favor. Shut up for a second. You came on here and you said, I violated the Constitution and I violated Jesus. I don't even know why I'm bothering with you, but go ahead. Say it. What did I do?
The Bible.
You go. All right. The Bible what? I read it every day, too. So what? And by the way, you know what? Yeah. I do screw up all the time. I'm not perfect, all right? Neither are you, Carrie, believe it or not.
So, the Bible says intentional ignorance is condemned by
intentional
God.
Ignorance. You mean when I hang up on you, when I say go to hell? Not literally, but that's the violation. So anybody who calls, you think you have all the answers, and if I hang up on you because you're a bit of a crank and you're rude, by the way, that I am committing a sin and I'm in violation of Jesus. Is that it?
No.
All right. Do me a favor. Hey, what's his name there? Jonas. Call screener. All right. That doesn't mean put everybody through. All right. You're not a telephone operator. Yep. All right. Carrie, we disagree. Totally. I don't like your attitude. I don't like your tone. Violating the Constitution. Violating the Constitution. Give me a break. I haven't even taken the oath of the Constitution. What?
Greg Kelly on the Red Apple Podcast Network. Greg Kelly on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Well, folks, I have been blown away by the work of our next guest. His name is William Deere. He believes OJ is innocent. He's written a book, OJ is Innocent, and I Can Prove It. He has another suspect in mind, and his documentary is very, very compelling. William Deere, a retired police officer, an investigator, and our guest. How are you, sir? Thanks for calling in.
I'm doing just fine, sir.
Well, look, I'm still kind of processing everything that you presented in your book. So do me a favor. Make the case. O.J. Simpson is innocent.
There's no doubt in my mind. I've been doing this. I've been inducted in Police Officers Hall of Fame as a private investigator. I did the Kennedy assassination. I hold the world's record for largest number of people arrested and convicted in the history of the United States for a single murder. And OJ is my primary. I worked this case over 30 years ago on my own nickel, by the way. When this happened, one of my staff members and I flew out. I climbed over the back gate. I sat at the front door of Nicole's house. By her front door and the picture window to the right, so I knew that whoever committed the murder, she had to have known exactly who it was. But then, you know, here it is 30 years later, OJ passes away. In fact, I had been told about 2 months ago that OJ had prostate cancer, but I wasn't aware that it was that bad, because prostate cancer in a lot of cases can be completely fixed and overcome after a period of treatments. So, but he died unexpectedly for me, because I was going to be going out there, and I was hoping for the 30-year anniversary that we could sit down and talk. I know he knows that I've been working on this thing for a long period of time. I know that I put together the book, O.J. is Innocent, I Can Prove It, a couple years ago. Here we have a man who's, I promise you, he's really a personable person. Maybe he's irate a little bit on the golf course, but I promise.
Okay, OJ. All right, let's skip him for a second. Who do you think did it?
Well, in my mind, I've come up with Jason Lamar Simpson, OJ's son from his first marriage. I know that Jason was given an airtight alibi when the murders occurred, that he was cooking in front of 200 people. Alan Ladd Jackson, who actually owned Jackson's restaurant at 8908 Beverly Boulevard in Beverly Hills. But then later, since that time, he has rescinded his statement that he gave Jason an airtight alibi, because he said 175 to 200 people were there, and I'm able to prove there was only 30 to 35. Jason left early. He was mad because Nicole had not shown up. He had prepared dinner for 13 people. We know that Jason was actually, listen to this one, he was on probation at the time of the murders for attempting to use a knife against his former employer, Paul Goldberg. And Paul told me straight out, he said, I thought he was going to kill me. And we know that he also attacked another girlfriend, where he cut off all her hair. Another girlfriend, he picked her up and threw her into a tub that had no water in it. Another one at his birthday spoke to another of his girlfriends, and they got angry. And so,
Mr. Deere, let me jump in. Just a couple of things. Okay. How old was Jason Simpson back then?
He was 25 years old. He was 5'11", 235 pounds.
What kind of problems did he have, if any? Did he have psychiatric issues? I think you found some.
Yes, we did. He'd been in a psychiatric unit. He suffered from rage disorder. He was taking a medicine called Depakote, to control his rage disorder. 2 months prior to that, he checked into Cedar Sinai Hospital saying that he was out of medication and about to rage. I was also given the opportunity to, he put a box after the murders into public storage in Los Angeles. When we got access to the box, in it, we found his diaries. We found the jacket that he had been wearing when he made that presentation after his father was found not guilty. We found three diaries, the year of the knife for me. I cut away my problems with a knife. Nobody touches my family. And then in addition to that, his dog, that it was the ashes of his dog. And we found pictures in there where he'd been in bed with his dog wearing that knit cap that was found at the crime scene as far as we're concerned. And the hair from the dog enveloped into the cap that he was wearing.
All right, just to establish, I want to make sure everybody understands. He was cooking at that restaurant called Jackson's. This is Jason Simpson. And the plan was for OJ and the kids and Nicole and everybody to come over to that restaurant after the recital to have a meal that he prepared because he was a chef. He was like an up-and-coming chef, and he was very happy and excited. That was canceled. Who canceled it?
Nobody canceled it. That's the problem that we have here. We know that Jason did a lot of drugs. We know he did alcohol. We know he suffered manic depression. When he did that presentation on that Sunday, it was the fact that he was expecting he and his father. It had been the first time that he could show his talents, not as a football player, but as a chef. The owner was off that Sunday and put Jason in charge. He normally is a sous chef. But on that particular night, he was the acting chef. And so he had prepared all this, made it look good. She never called him, never said anything about canceling, and it was completely embarrassed. So in our mind, we know that he took Jennifer Green, who came to pick him up in his Jeep, took him and dropped her off, then went over to Nicole's and confronted Nicole, and that's where the murder occurred.
All right. Now, OJ, as we know, I mean, there were blood droplets in his car. There should have been more blood if he were the killer. You point that out, or a lot of people have pointed out. But, I mean, there is the bloody glove. There's the Bruno Mali footprints. You believe what? How do you account for all that?
There's no doubt in my mind that OJ Simpson was at the crime scene, but after the murders. He did not know that it occurred. I have an eyewitness at placing Jason and OJ at the crime scene after the murders. And he was a very reliable witness. We polygraphed him twice. He passed with flying colors. He's actually an investigator. We know that Jason, you know, when you look at all the evidence, knowing that he was suffering from drugs, he was, you know, Scott stood up for this. He went over the current. I do not believe that he went over the killer. I think he went over to confront her. They got in confrontation. The two children were upstairs. And as a result, she slapped him. You don't slap him. He carries a boot knife. And in the bottom of this box that we were able to get out of the storage facility was approximately a 5-inch. It was a replica of a Gerber Mark V designed for purpose of cut to kill. The top had been removed and
Mr. Deere, let me jump in for a second. Now, why would OJ have gone over to the scene? Okay, this, according to you, Jason commits the murder. I take it that he leaves. And well, why would OJ have gone there?
Because of the fact that we know that OJ visiting when he was in his psychiatric unit, he depended on his dad. He also suffers the situation of he doesn't remember exactly what he had done. I think he called his dad. His dad met him at the intersection of Bundy and San Vicente. They parked the car. Jason gets into OJ's Bronco. They drive over there, make a right-hand turn off of Bundy onto Dorothy, pull into the alley, shut off the lights. We have a witness to that effect. It's never been brought out before. And pulled up behind, that's when I think OJ did not realize or think in his mind that Jason had really done what he said he did on the phone. And so as a result of that, he was worried about his two other children, Justin and Sydney. They were supposed to have a sleepover that night. OJ did not know that it had been canceled and that it was just the two kids upstairs, Justin and Sydney. So he had no knowledge.
Now, sir, let me just jump in one other time. Like, it's interesting because not everybody had a cell phone back then, right? Obviously, and right. We don't have cell phone towers. And you, as a private investigator, you can't subpoena telephone records or any of that stuff. But were the authorities ever able to determine if Jason called OJ that night? I mean, that would seem like a basic. And actually, if you don't mind, OJ's son, Jason, was never actually interviewed by police.
Never.
In fact, and he lawyered up right away. OJ was talking more than his son, right?
Right. 2 days after the murders, OJ hired Carl Jones, a top criminal lawyer, to represent his son. Why would he have done that? That's number one. Number two is that we know that the knife belonged to Jason. We know that he did not. I think what happened in that mine was that when he got in touch with his dad, they went over there and saw it, actually what was happening. Because when he went inside, OJ had gotten out from the driver's seat, came around the back, and put on the gloves and walked into the back of Nicole's. In about 10 to 15 minutes, he comes out, but Jason is now behind the wheel, and the engine's still running. At this point, OJ comes out. He's wearing boxer shorts, not his clothes. They were rolled up into his arm, and so when he opened the door with his right, he climbs in, and that's why a little bit of blood is attracted to the console.
Now, sir, let me just jump in again. Tell us a little bit more how you know, and I know the answer to this, but tell us a little bit more how you know about Jason Simpson's feelings about the dinner that night and some of the other things. You actually, you heard these things directly from Jason Simpson, in a way.
I heard him from a person that dated him, that knew him very well, that had not dated him any longer. They stayed in touch. She was able to give me information.
But I'm talking about there's a videotape deposition where he says stuff.
Yes. You know, I don't have it in front of me. I'm sorry. I'm driving, trying to do this.
Yeah. There is a deposition. He was deposed, I guess, by Daniel Petrocelli during the civil suit, right?
Yeah, and Daniel, his right-hand man, get this one, his right-hand assistant to Daniel Petrocelli has said, you know, if Jason didn't have an airtight alibi that night, I would have considered him the suspect. Well, the truth is he didn't have an alibi because Alan Ladd Jackson rescinded his alibi, but that was after a period of years. So when he did the deposition, he becomes very arrogant, which he does. You know, he's not a person that you want to be around very long with because he can become an individual that you become frightened with.
You know, it's interesting. Back then, you really had to rely on what people said a lot more than we do today. I mean, there are cameras everywhere, right?
Right.
And we get it down. And you see in investigations now huge discrepancies between what people say and what cameras reveal. And this is fascinating. Now, are you getting inquiries from others? I mean, OJ died, we found out. I've always been interested in this case, but it's obviously rekindled interest. What do you think could happen next? Is there any momentum now to reevaluate, reinvestigate?
Well, I had intended on doing a 30-year anniversary on this and bringing out a great deal of things that I'm not telling you right now. A prime example is that Robert Kardashian, which was the closest friend to OJ, got and made a statement to somebody who related to me, said, if you ever see Bill Deer, please tell him that he got it right, that OJ did not commit the murder that Jason did. Well, that came directly from his best friend, Robert Kardashian, who's now deceased.
Well, that's something. That is something. All right, so you've got a big plan for the 30th anniversary. There's stuff. There's even more evidence that you're not revealing now.
I wish I could, but I'm going to keep that.
I understand. So, I mean, if your theory is correct, or let's just go with the O.J. Simpson is innocent for a moment, what does it say about O.J.? that he would take this for someone else? Tell us your thoughts on that.
Well, you know, he said in a Sports Illustrated article when Jason was about 10 that I may have to quit football because my son, he's not able to be controlled. And he was concerned and worried at that time. Well, it never got any better. Jason was arrested for drugs and alcohol abuse, kicked out of college. I mean, O.J. had nothing but trouble with him for a long period of time. And I think that O.J. blamed himself. And again, people can say what they want. I know O.J. because I've gone through films. I've looked at him. I've studied it. So I know that he wasn't the villain that, like this Kimmel from one of the networks last night, called him despicable. That's not true. He's not despicable. He protected his son. As a result of all the things that happened, he stood by his son no matter what, knowing that he felt responsible.
Wow. Well, let me just one more thing. Is it possible that if the government starts looking at this and they'll have access to more material than you could have, although you got a lot? Actually, hold that thought. You actually got his diaries. That's pretty wild. And I noticed, though, in the book, you didn't quote the diaries extensively. Is there a legal reason why you didn't?
No, because of the fact that I was able to get his psychiatric records, his hospital records and all like that. And he has three attempted suicides. I'm not afraid of that. It's just that there were certain excerpts I wanted to release and some I did not want to release at this time. But in one of the aspects, he says, it's the year of the knife for me. I cut away my problems with the knife. There was a piece of paper that was found in his trash. You know, we do gather people's trash. It gives you a great deal of evidence from time to time. It was wadded up. It was wet. But when you rolled it out, he talks about himself being two people. I'm a Dr. Jekyll. I'm a Mr. Hyde. When you see it and you realize he's taking a pencil and just over and over and over with his right hand, apparently, and you can't read it, but when we were able to take it apart, it just scared you to death that this man actually believed that he could be two people.
Wow. You know, I will say this. I mean, look, obviously he has not been arrested in connection to this case. He's never been charged or anything like that in connection to this case. I happen to have heard a podcast with him. He's a chef, and I have to tell you, he just sounded like a very gentle guy. I know that's not, doesn't mean anything. No, I mean, look, you said yeah. Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. I forgot right there. So, and he hasn't been in significant trouble, as far as I can see, in the decades since, right?
No, we did a study with one of the top psychologists who do a performer test on somebody such as him, and they said he would do it again. But he hasn't done it because he got married. I don't, from what I've been told, I've been given information directly. It's not a happy marriage, but it's one that he dreams constantly overnight. Relayed to me the things that he said and in his dreams that came out. So I think he knows that the people are looking at him. I think he feels responsibility of what he's done to his poor dad. And he's trying to hold on. I don't know whether he's taking Depakote still, but I would imagine that he is, because you don't get off of that overnight.
And you don't think there's any chance you got this wrong? You're totally convinced?
I, believe it or not, I've been doing this nearly 57 years. And as far as I'm concerned, I got it right.
All right. Well, William Deere, we appreciate your time. Your book is available on Amazon right now, and you can find the documentary online. It is it's amazing. Now, we have to say that these are, you know, your allegations, and we're not endorsing those allegations. I think you're a very interesting man, and you've got obvious expertise. Let's see here. I want to make sure we got the book cover right here. O.J. is innocent, and I can prove it. The Shocking Truth About the Murders of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman by William Deere. Two more quick things. Have you ever talked to the Goldmans?
No, I have not. I have no desire to talk to him because I know too much about Ron Goldman.
And have they ever reached out? Jason, through lawyers or anything, ever said, hey, knock it off. Don't be out there saying this stuff.
I think about 28 years ago, I got a letter that deceased, but I'm still doing it. And 28 years later, if he wants to sue me, let him sue me, because if he sues me, I have the right to take his deposition. And I have the answers into the questions that I know that will certainly vindicate anything as far as what they might accuse me of.
Okay. William Deere, we appreciate it very much. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
And we'll be right back.
Greg Kelly, on the Red Apple Podcast Network. Greg Kelly, entertaining and informative on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
You know, Senator Marco Rubio tweeted just a little while ago that basically any minute now, Iran is going to attack Israel. Iran is going to attack Israel. You know, if we weren't so stretched thin and depleted and all of our munitions and stuff going to Ukraine, and we were tougher, we had a tougher stance in the world, we could do something about it. We could head it off. We could be preemptive.
But this is just going to happen? We're just waiting for it to happen? That doesn't sound right. That doesn't sound very American, does it? That breaks my heart. Hey, something else. Three police officers were shot in Memphis. One of the officers, Joseph McKinley, this is just this morning, was killed, Officer Joseph McKinley. And one of the teen gunmen, they were teenagers. Teenagers sound so innocent, doesn't it? No. A teen was arrested weeks ago for possessing an illegal firearm and a stolen car. But he is already out. Hey, they arrested a 16-year-old for pushing that woman down the steps, that beautiful churchgoer in Queens. We don't know his name because he's a juvenile. And she, I hope she makes it. I think she's still in critical. Any update on that? Did she make it to stable? Wow. Stacy, you didn't like that guy?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it was a little hard to listen to. I remember back when that all happened and everything. But, I mean, I'm not entirely sure that this is true or not, but what is it, Caitlyn Jenner's wife, you know, Kim Kardashian's mother? I don't know if this is true or not, but she was friends with Nicole, right? I mean, you know, regardless of everything else, I mean, she was petrified of OJ. And she told her that, you know, Nicole told her that, you know, he wanted to kill her and everything. And I mean, I'm not entirely sure that's true. I wasn't there, but, you know, I mean, she was petrified of him. I mean, you know, regardless if he did it or not, I mean, still, he was, he caused a lot of trouble.
Whoa. Regardless of whether he did it or not, look, just because he punched her in the face, which he did, doesn't mean he's a killer. Although, look, for a long time, I was convinced he's the killer. I got to tell you, this guy has presented some new and very interesting ideas that are worthy of consideration. Thank you, Stacy.
This is Greg Kelly for Priority Gold. What does it mean to be America's precious metals dealer? It means that you're in touch with the hearts and minds of those who love this country, value our freedom, and want to protect the future. Priority Gold is that precious metals dealer. They've helped thousands of Americans back their retirement with solid gold and silver. Call Priority Gold at 888-506-6439. Receive free shipping, free storage, a free investment guide, and one of the best purchase experiences in the industry. Call now or go to PriorityGold.com.